book of Psalms is almost in the center of the Bible. It has been composed.
Sure enough, if I hold it up, it works.
No, but we're gonna need this one too, Mark.
I'll start that again. The book of Psalms is almost in the center of the Bible. It's been composed by various authors over a very long period of time. These hymns and prayers were collected and used by the people of ancient Israel in their worship. There are poems of praise, prayers for help, pleas for forgiveness, songs of thanksgiving. These poems were used both for personal gratification and for national. Brian and I will read Psalm 19 antiphonally. The other way the Psalms were used was in a procession, where the leader may have spoken one line and the people have spoken another. So that's kind of what we're going to do. How clearly the sky reveals God's glory.
How plainly it shows what God has done.
Each day announces it to the following day.
Each night repeats it to the next.
No speech or words were used. No sound is heard.
Yet the message goes out to all the world and is heard to the ends of the earth.
God made a home in the sky for the sun.
It comes out in the morning like a happy bridegroom, like an athlete eager to run a race. The sun starts at one end of the sky and goes across to the other.
Nothing at all can hide from its heat.
The law of God is perfect. It gives new strength.
The commands of God are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it.
The laws of God are right, and those who obey them are happy.
The commands of God are just and give understanding to the mind.
Reverence for God is good. It will continue forever.
The judgments of God are just. They're always fair.
They are more desirable than the finest gold.
They're sweeter than even the purest honey.
They give us knowledge, and we are rewarded for obeying them.
We cannot see our own errors. Deliver us, O God, from all of our hidden faults.
Keep us safe from willful sins. Do not let them rule us. Then we shall be perfect and free from sin.
Let these words and our thoughts be acceptable to you, O God.
Our refuge and our strength. A long passage in this passage that comes right before a very familiar passage that we have all heard numerous times in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But likewise, this chapter that leads up to that has something that we refer to quite a bit and was referred to in the time that that this letter was first written to the church in Corinth. So here are some verses in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, scattered verses from 12 to 31 of chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church apostles and prophets and teachers, and then has given deeds of power, gifts of healing, and forms of assistance, and forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And the answer to that, of course, as he goes on, is no. Everybody's not the same thing. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. And then he closes the chapter, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for calling us, even us, to this moment. To this moment in the earth's history, to this moment in time, we're here for your reason. Help us to always find and follow that. And in Christ we pray. Amen. So, Julie alluded to something a moment ago. I had been in campus ministry here in Greensboro, and this year marks the 20th year that I have lived here in Greensboro. I came to be one of the campus ministers at UNCG in the fall of 99. And I guess it was sometime the next year, I showed up one morning without my guitar. And I can't remember where it was, but it was one of the churches that supported the campus ministry. And got the guitar. Yeah, I hear it. So I was met at the door by this kind elderly woman who had one hand on her hip. I may have told this story before here. And she looked at me and she said, "That guitar better be in your car, because I didn't have it in my hand. I didn't have it with me." And I said, "No, I didn't bring my guitar today." And she proceeded to put her other hand on her hip and ask the question, "Well, what's wrong with us?" And I took that as a moment about calling, to tell you the truth. I took that as a moment, and ever since then, every sermon I've ever preached, here or anywhere in the presbytery, or even outside the presbytery sometimes, I have used my guitar because it's just, like I said over there a while ago, it's just how I roll. It is a part of my calling, I know. I have written songs since I was 13 years old. I turned 59 this year. I'll let you do the math. I've written songs for a long time, and even before that, I remember laying there in bed when I was probably about 3 years old, singing myself to sleep. Not because my mom or dad wouldn't do it, but because I just needed more. And I remember music being that constantly present friend. That's just a part of my vocation. So, when I stand here in front of you and I sing a song as a part of a sermon, and I'm going to do two, maybe even three today, it's just because of my vocation. It's because of God's calling that I am seeking to follow. When my family and I were in the process of making the decision to come here. So a little over 20 years ago, I had begun walking the folds of a labyrinth again and again and again. Out in a cornfield in southwest Indiana, where one of the convents there had put up a labyrinth. I'd never walked a labyrinth. Have any of you walked a labyrinth? We've had them at the UNCG campus ministry. I know there are numerous ones around. I walked one last weekend at Shallowford Presbyterian Church in Louisville. And this song has everything to do with vocation and calling. It has everything to do with my body of work. I'm just going to sing a portion of it because I want to sing a couple of others too. But this is about walking a labyrinth. On a labyrinth going round, listen for the sacred sound. With the ear of your heart, heed the call. This journey of life is home. We never are alone. Life within life, all in all. So eastward and westward, chanting a blessed word, sacred this path we trod. Northerly, southerly, fatherly, motherly, geometry's roadmap to God. As the strand frees and chains through life's losses and gains, all that we have is right now. It's our thread and our theme, made of details and dreams. We'll learn what we need to somehow. And I wrote this verse about this little boy at a camp. I had been the director of what we called a music, art, and drama camp. And this little boy came running up to me one day, maybe Thursday of that week camp. One shoe was missing. He was muddy and wet all over, and he had a piece of crumpled paper in his hand, and he had this excited look all over his face. And he said, "Shepherd McFarland, I wrote my first poem." Maybe 6-7 years old. And he proceeded to read me the poem. I don't remember how the poem went, because he then said, "I want to get life all over me." And he ran away. To me, that was the real poem, you know. So I wrote this verse. Once a boy said to me, "I want to get life all over me. That's how I yet want to live. Loving with all my heart, finding new ways to start, giving what's been given me to give. Life's a voyage, a heritage, a passage, a pilgrimage. There's so much here that goes by all that matters is who we've been, being kind, honest, and genuine, and the love we've received and we've shown. As the strand frees and chains through life's losses and gains, all that we have is right now. It's our thread and our theme, made of details and dreams, and we'll learn what we need to somehow." So I walked and walked with that song for a number of years, and I actually recorded that song right here with Rob Seals on McGee Street. And was the last person to record a recording project with him before he moved out to L.A. And I sing that because it's about a body of work that was given to me and that I think is given to all of us to live. I said at the earlier service, you know, I sat in the dentist chair years ago after I'd had a root canal, and I became very aware and very grateful, and it became my prayer and thanks to God that my dentist was called to be a dentist. Amen? It's not just clergy who are called. Every last one of us. And we say it all the time. Somebody finds something that they're very good at, and we say all the time, well, you found your calling. Or you missed your calling, sometimes, is what we'll say. We say it all the time. And, you know, I'm convinced that we're in a moment right now where all that we're doing is this pointing fingers. And all that it seems that we're doing is bickering. And all that it seems like we hear about in the news is just one side against another. And a few of us were songwriters last weekend up in the mountains at another friend's home. My friend Brian, Tony, and I started a songwriters group a little over a year ago. And we co-wrote a song that one of us had been starting. And I think it has everything to do with this larger sense of vocation that is found there in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, and is about a not necessarily a political figure of that day, but a celebrity nonetheless who did some incredible work. You'll know it as it comes around. So this is a song I co-wrote with a couple of other friends. Goes is kind of neat. People pointing fingers, everybody's wrong. You can read it in the papers, hear it in the song. Everybody hates somebody every single day. We sure could use Will Rogers today. Hayseed kind of humor set him apart. He always had an answer. You felt it in your heart. Will Rogers was a man. He always had a way. And we sure could use Will Rogers today. Just can't get it right. Can't find no common ground. Can't seem to find a way. Yet we sure could use Will Rogers today. Why can't we find the spirit of a man to help us through trouble? Times rampant in the land. Yeah, we sure could use Will Rogers today. People pointing fingers, everybody's wrong. You can read it in the papers, hear it in a song. Will Rogers was a man. Y'all. I agree with that so wholeheartedly. There is a, has always been, if you ask me, has always been a part of this movement that we are a part of, being followers of the Christ who got involved in the politics of the time, who didn't wait for people to come to him. He went where people were. And he healed, and he made differences where he was called to make them. It was not about waiting and for people to come to him. It was about going. It was about being present. It was about making himself known. It was about making not only God's presence known, but the presence of God that was already there, making it known. And it was about empowering those who were there to help make God known, empowering them. At the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus didn't work some miracle. He turned to the disciples and he said, you know what? You feed them. Every single one of them, those stories, that all four of the Gospels has that one story in it. And in every one of them, Jesus turns to the disciples and says, you feed them. We're alive in a moment that we're all called upon to bring our body of work to what it means to be alive in the moment. I'm going to end with a portion of a song that I was able to sing and lead at a very unfortunate interfaith gathering back in the fall, the Tuesday after the horrific events at the Tree of Life Synagogue. I was able to sing this song and to give voice to what it means for us all to be called. And I would ask you to sing on this chorus when it comes around, because it's not just about someone up in front of people performing. It's about us being transformed by the love of God to go from places like this on a weekly basis back out into the world to make a difference in the lives of those who are hurting. On June the 27th of last year, one of my heroes, Representative John Lewis, tweeted these words: do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful. Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get in good trouble, necessary trouble. And he ended with the hashtag good trouble. And I thought, gosh, there is a song just waiting to be written right there. So I did. Thank you. now right here. It'll take some time to turn this around. This is struggle. Transitionary struggle. Take some time and take the higher ground. Go ahead and join the struggle. Transitionary struggle. And never stop showing up. Never stop showing up. Never stop showing up for love. Never stop showing up. Never stop showing up. Never stop showing up for love. When I come into worship, one of the first things I do if I'm preaching is I put this right here on. It shows service. It shows what Jesus did and the washing of the feet of the disciples. It's really mimicking a towel. This is really, it's not a stole. It's a beautiful thing. With the feeding of the 5,000 on it, but it's really to represent a towel, to show service. Every single one of us are called to be human and to be present. That is our body of work. No matter who we are and what we do for a living, we're all called to be human. And present. May it be so.